It's 3 o'clock somewhere. Time for a My Mochi ice cream snack. My Mochi ice cream is cool, creamy scoops of premium ice cream wrapped in sweet, pillowy dough. And get this, all of My Mochi's fabulous flavors like strawberry, mango, double chocolate, and cookies and cream are only around 80 calories per piece. Talk about a guilt-free, indulgent experience. Each box of My Mochi ice cream has 6 perfectly portioned, gluten-free mochis that are great for grab-and-go. So feel good while curbing your afternoon cravings or the midnight munchies. Yeah, you know who you are with the joyfully chill sensation of My Mochi ice cream. Find My Mochi ice cream at Target or visit MyMochi.com to locate a grocery store near you.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than just a car or a house. It's the four wheels that get you where you're going and the four walls that welcome you home. When you combine auto and home insurance with Amica, we'll help protect it all. And the more you cover, the more you can save. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Tonight, as we come on the air, our new reporting on Donald Trump and his alleged attempt to interfere with the January 6th investigation. And the former president saying he's made a decision about whether he'll run again in 2024. New details tonight about former President Trump's attempts to take back the White House as we hear new leaked audio of Steve Bannon laying out then-President Trump's plan to contest the 2020 election. Plus, Ivana Trump, the former president's first wife, dies at the age of 73. The abortion case gaining international attention. Tonight, why an Indiana doctor is under investigation after performing the procedure on a 10-year-old rape victim. Massive cleanup, homes damaged or destroyed. The news tonight about the 44 people unaccounted for. A report from the flooded Virginia County. Deadly attack on civilians. More than 20 are killed in Ukraine, including children, after a Russian missile strike. Inflation's impact. CBS's Adriana Diaz introduces us to a family being forced to choose between groceries and their 15-year-old's cancer treatment. And meet Vinny Duke, the 3-year-old Walker Hound therapy dog helping heal heartbreak.
This is the CBS Evening News with Nora O'Donnell, reporting from the nation's capital.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on this Thursday night. 1 week from now, the January 6th committee will hold a primetime hearing with what lawmakers promise will include never-before-seen evidence that they say proves Donald Trump's culpability in the assault on the U.S. Capitol and explains what he was doing for 3 hours as the symbol of democracy was ransacked. Well, tonight we have new reporting on which witness the former president allegedly tried to call recently, raising questions about witness tampering. And just as the investigation is zeroing in on Donald Trump himself, he may be trying to distract by letting it be known that he's made a decision about whether or not he'll run for the White House again in 2024. And then there's this bombshell we're just learning about. Members of the Secret Service may have erased messages from January 5th and January 6th. That's according to the Department of Homeland Security. So we have a lot of news to get to tonight. And CBS's Scott McFarlane's going to start us off from Capitol Hill. Good evening, Scott.
Nora, good evening. As the committee sets its sights on the next phase of its investigation, what it calls dereliction of duty by former President Trump, they're accusing Trump of interfering with the investigation, even as Trump talks about a big announcement of his own.
With revelations from the January 6th committee hearings frustrating Donald Trump, the former president is accused of tampering with a potential witness. CBS News has confirmed that individual who was sharing information with the committee was a White House employee. The individual didn't take the call and was concerned, given he or she didn't routinely communicate with Mr. Trump.
We will take any efforts to influence witness testimony very seriously.
The committee says the call came soon after the blockbuster hearing featuring former Trump White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson, in which Hutchinson testified Trump wanted to join the mob at the Capitol January 6th.
We were watching the Capitol building get defaced over a lie.
The individual Trump called was potentially prepared to corroborate parts of Hutchinson's testimony. It's the latest in a series of accusations of possible witness tampering.
Are you all concerned about the safety of these witnesses?
We are absolutely concerned about the safety of our witnesses, and their safety is our paramount interest. So we're going to do everything we can to protect them. We're going to refer to the Justice Department any information we have about anyone trying to influence or intimidate a witness.
The committee says it's still interested in hearing from former Trump White House advisor Steve Bannon. In newly released audio from just before Election Day 2020, Bannon is heard predicting Trump would claim victory no matter what.
He's just going to say he's a winner. That's our strategy. He's going to claim himself a winner. So when you wake up Wednesday morning, it's going to be a firestorm.
In court in Washington today, Bannon's lawyers asked to delay his criminal trial for contempt of Congress for snubbing the January 6th committee, saying the publicity of that leaked audio and the committee's public hearings would inflame the jury. The judge disagreed and ordered jury selection begin Monday morning.
The committee hasn't ruled out deposing Trump or former Vice President Pence. Meanwhile, in a new interview, Trump leans into a possible run for the White House, saying, quote, "In my mind, I've already made that decision." Nora?
All right, Scott McFarland, thank you. And for more on that possible 2024 run, let's bring in CBS Chief Election and Campaign Correspondent Robert Costa. I know you've been talking to your sources. What's Donald Trump up to?
People around the former president, donors say he's been long leaning into a summer announcement, but now looking more like a fall announcement, possibly September. That's on everybody's radar inside his inner circle. The reason here is he wants to freeze the Republican field for 2024, in particular Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who's making moves and has become a favorite of the base.
I mean, we haven't even had the midterms yet. I mean, is this serious or is this Donald Trump just trying to once again exert himself?
Talking to his advisors and his friends, he's itching to get back in. He's bored in Florida playing golf, and he's frustrated with the January 6th committee and all the other investigations of him. He wants to define himself, use his political capital to get in early. This would be highly unusual historically. Think about President Carter, President George H.W. Bush. When they were defeated after one term, they went home. Trump wants a comeback.
Robert Costa, thank you. And we got word this afternoon that Ivana Trump, the first wife of Donald Trump and the mother of his three eldest children, has died in New York City. Two people familiar with the matter tell the Associated Press that police are investigating whether Trump fell down the stairs, and they believe her death was accidental. Her youngest son, Eric, and his wife were spotted leaving her home shortly after the news of her death. That was just today. She was 73 years old. Turning now to the abortion case that has gained international attention after a 10-year-old rape victim from Ohio was taken to Indiana for the procedure. Here's CBS's Elaine Cajano.
Tonight, Indiana's Republican Attorney General Todd Rokita told CBS News that his office is investigating whether Dr. Caitlin Bernard, a local OBGYN physician, followed state law, which requires her to report that she performed an abortion on a 10-year-old girl who was a victim of rape. The girl traveled from Ohio, where most abortions are illegal, once there is cardiac activity, usually at 6 weeks. Yesterday, Dr. Bernard tweeted, "My heart breaks for all survivors of sexual assault and abuse. I am so sad that our country is failing them." Elizabeth Nash works for an abortion rights group.
That the best thing for a sexual assault survivor who needs an abortion is not an abortion ban.
Since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, Ohio is one of at least 9 states which make no exceptions for rape or incest. In Indiana, abortions are still legal up to 22 weeks.
How concerned are physicians now about potentially being in legal jeopardy?
Well, they're incredibly concerned because more than anything, providers want to provide care.
The girl's case sparked international attention after President Biden made reference to it as he signed an executive order to protect access to abortions.
10 years old, raped, 6 weeks pregnant, already traumatized, was forced to travel to another state
Yesterday, 27-year-old Gerson Fuentes was arraigned in Ohio for allegedly raping the girl. Tonight, the Indiana doctor's lawyer released a statement saying, quote, "My client, Dr. Caitlin Bernard, took every appropriate and proper action in accordance with the law and both her medical and ethical training as a physician. She followed all relevant policies, procedures, and regulations in this case." The attorney says they are considering legal action to clear her name. Nora?
Elaine Cajano, thank you. We want to turn out of Virginia, where the cleanup is underway in the rural southwestern part of the state after roaring floodwater separated families and knocked buildings off their foundations. There is good news tonight that all 44 people that were unaccounted for have been found. CBS's Christina Ruffini is in Buchanan County, Virginia.
For Deborah Brewster, Dismal Creek lived up to its name. She and her husband, Tommy, moved into this house less than a year ago.
I go very slow.
Now, thick black sludge covers her prized hardwood floors. This was their car park. Powerful floodwaters damaged or washed away more than 100 homes, this one into the middle of the road. Rob Reif and his wife bought this house after their honeymoon more than 40 years ago. Today, they're trying to salvage what's left.
Our neighbor's house is washing away. We knew it was time to get out.
With power out and no cell service for miles, many families in this area had no way to contact their loved ones.
We plan for the worst, we hope for the best, and once again, that's been the case.
With God, all things are possible. We'll put him first and we can know that things will work out.
But it's hard to feel blessed when the storm took everything you've got.
Nora, most people we spoke to here don't have flood insurance. They said it's simply too expensive. Those that did have it couldn't afford enough to cover all the damage that's happened. So without some assistance from the federal government or the state, most say they'll have to abandon their homes and go live somewhere else.
Christina Ruffini, thank you. Well, overseas, President Biden's trip to the Middle East continued today, where he received Israel's Medal of Honor. That is the country's highest civilian award. The president and Israeli Prime Minister Yair Lapid stood shoulder to shoulder to declare they would not allow Iran to become a nuclear power, but they disagree on how to prevent that from happening. CBS's Ed O'Keefe is traveling with the president. Good evening, Ed.
Good evening, Nora. While the president once again kept much of his focus today on Iran, attention's now shifting to his meeting scheduled for Friday with Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. The president on this trip, of course, hoping to find ways to drive down the price of oil by pushing Saudi and other producers to speed the flow of oil, but asking for that requires engaging the Crown Prince. Bin Salman is a controversial figure, blamed by U.S. intelligence for ordering the killing of Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi, a longtime critic of the Saudi royal family. And today, when asked, the president declined to say whether he would bring up Khashoggi's murder with Saudi leaders.
I always bring up human rights. But my position on Khashoggi has been so clear. If anyone doesn't understand it in Saudi Arabia or anywhere else, then they haven't been around for a while.
Critics, including many in the Democratic Party, fault the president for making this trip and holding these meetings, pointing out that as a candidate, he faulted Saudi Arabia, saying he would try to isolate the country for Khashoggi's murder. But now as president, he says the U.S. must engage Saudi Arabia or risk losing influence in this region and having the vacuum filled by Russia and China. Nora?
Ed O'Keefe, thank you. Tonight, Ukraine is again accusing Russia of war crimes after a missile strike killed at least 23 civilians and wounded more than 100 others, including children. The assault happened in a part of the country that until now has been sparred from Russia's bombs. CBS's Holly Williams is there with graphic video of today's attack.
A little girl out in the sunshine on a summer's day. The same girl, according to a family friend, lying dead beside her stroller. Killed, says Ukraine, by a Russian cruise missile attack this morning. The explosions came out of a bright blue sky. Ukraine claims it was a deliberate assault on civilians. An office building pummeled, destroying a medical center and damaging a nearby residential area.
Vinnytsia is a small city. It's around 200 miles from the nearest front line. And before today, it had mainly been peaceful since the Russian invasion began. But now its sense of security has been shattered.
We interviewed Ukraine's defense minister just hours afterwards.
We had a war with the state of terrorists.
To be clear, you're calling the Russian military terrorists.
Yes, absolutely. I'm sure they're using the weapon against civilian people, against the civilian facilities, against the hospitals.
It's possible the target was this building across the road, which is also severely damaged. We were inside it in March, interviewing officers from the Ukrainian Air Force.
Air defense.
The defense minister didn't say whether modern air defense systems could have prevented today's bloodshed, but told us Ukraine needs them from the US and its allies.
We want the numbers which will cover our sky. That's it.
We've spent a lot of time here in Vinnytsia during the war, and many people who've evacuated places closer to the front line have come here because it feels relatively secure. But the reality is that very few places here in Ukraine are now truly safe. Nora.
Holly Williams, thank you. The highest inflation rate in more than 40 years is pushing many Americans past their financial limits. In tonight's Eye on America, CBS's Adriana Diaz meets one family that's been forced to take out high-interest loans just to afford the gas they need to take their daughter for life-saving medical treatment.
15-year-old Ginger Vincent's health depends on a key calculation.
Do we have enough gas to do it? Because we got appointments on Wednesday. Appointments on Thursday.
Ginger, who lives for sports, was diagnosed with bone cancer more than a year ago.
The first thought that I had was, don't cry. I was in front of my parents and I wanted to be strong for them.
It's just hard to see her like that. She was so healthy and vibrant. Smart. Just to see her wasting away in bed.
Parents Keith and Annalisa Vincent have watched Ginger go through chemo and multiple surgeries, even lung surgery, just last week.
Physical therapy,
Ginger's
CT
appointment.
Scan.
Ginger's appointments, including physical therapy, are at times more than an hour away from her home in rural Indiana. With gas prices more than doubling in the past year, the family now spends more than $200 a week on gas. Money they don't have.
Let's pay the mortgage first. Let's pay the majority of the bills. But at the end of the day, I said, wait a minute, we do not have money for gas.
You've been in that situation?
Oh, yeah.
So I end up like going to instant cash. That's our best friend right now.
Instant cash?
Instant cash.
Those are short-term high-interest loans they need to afford transportation to Ginger's appointments.
Thank you.
They've cut back on groceries, a sacrifice not lost on their daughter.
Having to watch them, we have to pay this bill, we have to pay that, and I'm downstairs and I hear all of that. It just seems so stressful and I just feel bad for them.
The Vincents say they're keeping their eyes on what matters.
People have certain bickerings, everyday trials. Oh, rent, food, you know, but you kind of like work it out. When you got cancer, that kind of stuff fades away.
We're not worried about, even though we can't afford certain things. The big picture is her.
For Eye on America, I'm Adriana Diaz in Monterey, Indiana.
Family is the most important thing.
This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Disgraced South Carolina attorney Alex Murdaugh was indicted today in the high-profile murders of his wife and son last year. Murdaugh had already been jailed on a slew of allegations, including staging his own shooting as part of a plot to have another son collect a $10 million life insurance payout. Murdaugh was disbarred earlier this week. Murdaugh is also suspected of being involved in the death of his housekeeper. Investigators say they're planning to exhume her body. Tonight we return to the scene of a recent tragedy. The community of Highland Park, Illinois has come together in grief following last week's mass shooting and is now getting help from a special kind of police officer, one that's especially pettable. Here's CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
Heartbreak hangs heavy in Highland Park, Illinois, for the lives lost and dozens hurt in last week's parade shooting.
This is Benny.
But with the wag of a tail, tears turn to smiles.
Dogs can really absorb sadness and the awful situations that people are going through.
Doing that work is Vinny Duke. The 3-year-old walker hound therapy dog joined the police department in March.
He holds us together when, in the times we need it.
And the need has never been greater. He and his partners, officers Darren Graff and Michael Ledesky, were leading the 4th of July parade when the shots rang out.
This is our town. This is our community. We love these people, you know. And so to see this kind of thing happen to the town that we're, you know, sworn to protect is not something that sits well.
Do you think he made a difference that day?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yes, he did.
Bringing comfort to the community and the officers.
A simple pet, hanging out for a minute, kiss on the face, whatever he does, it can really just kind of shift your mood and shift your mindset.
He likes seeing all the school kids.
Once a malnourished stray, Vinnie Duke is now helping his forever home find some peace. Chris Van Cleve, CBS News, Highland Park, Illinois.
That's a hard-working hound. We end tonight with the remarkable discovery of a hidden painting by Vincent van Gogh. It was found by X-ray behind another painting. The self-portrait shows the artist with the left ear that he later cut off. Rather than delete the selfie, van Gogh covered it up with cardboard. And that is tonight's CBS Evening News. A reminder, if you can't watch us live, set your DVR so you can watch us later. I'm Nora O'Donnell in the nation's capital. Good night.
If you enjoy tuning in to the CBS Evening News, there are official t-shirts, hats, mugs, and more available for purchase at ParamountShop.com. These products are perfect for any fan of evening news, and you can take 20% off with code EVENING20. That's 20% off all CBS Evening News products with code EVENING20 at ParamountShop.com.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, early and ad-free on Wondery Plus.